Welcome to episode 1352 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In Acts, there is a striking phrase that repeats throughout. The apostles are suffering for the name, not just for their faith or for their beliefs, but specifically for bearing the name of Jesus openly, publicly, at great cost. When Peter and John are arrested for healing a lame beggar at the temple gate, they are brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, for interrogation.
And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, replied,
"Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to an old man and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed."
Peter does not apologize for the healing or for using Jesus' name. Instead, he proclaims it boldly. He names the name in front of the very council that had Jesus executed, and he is arrested for it. Later, after being flogged and threatened, Peter and John are released with a warning. "Do not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." Note the response.
"Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him. You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard."
They refuse. They will not stop bearing the name, even under threat.
The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name.
They are suffering not for a belief system or an ideology, but for bearing the name of Jesus publicly, openly, truthfully. To bear the name is not simply to speak it. It is to embody it, to carry it into the world, to let it shape your identity and your choices. When Peter declares Jesus Christ of Nazareth before the authorities, he is not just stating a fact. He is declaring his allegiance. He is saying, "This is the name I belong to, the name that shapes who I am, the name I am willing to suffer for." And crucially, the apostles do not just speak the name. They heal, forgive, and live in Jesus' name. And they are willing to die for that name. This is bearing the name truthfully, letting it shape not just your words, but your entire way of life, not just your confession, but your conduct, not just your theology, but your courage. Later in Acts, we see this pattern repeated. The apostles are arrested again.
They brought the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name.
Flogged, threatened, ordered to stop. And their response? Rejoicing. Why? Because they understand something profound. Bearing the name of Jesus is an honor worth any cost. What makes the apostles' witness credible? It is the coherence between what they confess and how they live, between their words and their courage, they say.
"We must obey God rather than human beings."
And then they demonstrate this through their actions. They do not hide, do not recant under pressure, do not protect themselves. They suffer for the name. This coherence is what gives their witness power. People see they are not just speaking words, but living them. They are willing to pay the price for their faith. Their words are backed by a way of life. Their confession is confirmed by courage. Think of the third commandment as exhortation to bear the name of God. And this means not just saying Jesus is Lord, but living as if he is Lord, even when it costs something. You do not just claim to follow Jesus. You follow Jesus into suffering if necessary. Listen to how Stephen embodies this. He is brought before the council, accused of blasphemy. They ask him to defend himself. And Stephen gives a long speech recounting Israel's history and God's faithfulness. Then he says,
"You stiff-necked people! Your hearts and your ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it."
When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Stephen does not soften his message to appease them. He does not dilute his witness to protect himself. He bears the name truthfully, even knowing it will cost him his life. And it does. When communities see people bearing the name in this way, with coherence, courage, a willingness to suffer, something shifts. Acts tells us,
the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to all as anyone had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
People are drawn to faith not primarily by arguments or theology. They are drawn by witness. They see people who have encountered the living God, who are willing to bear his name publicly, who are living with such coherence and courage that it is undeniable. They see the apostles flogged and rejoicing. See Stephen forgiving his murderers. See people willing to lose everything for a name. And they think, there must be something real here, something worth dying for. The name becomes credible through the apostles' embodied witness. Not because the apostles are perfect or impressive, but because they are authentic. Because their lives match their confession. Because they are willing to pay the price. And people respond. They see this witness and they want it. They want to know this God. They want to bear this name. They want to be part of this community where faith is so real that people will suffer for it. But let us not romanticize this. The apostles are beaten, imprisoned, expelled from communities. They lose homes and property. Some are eventually executed. The point is this. They could have avoided all of this by remaining silent, by keeping their faith private, by not bearing the name publicly, by conforming to the authorities' demands. But they refuse. Why? Because to bear the name truthfully is to let it be public. It is to let it shape your identity and your choices in visible ways. It is to be willing to be identified with Jesus, even when that identification brings suffering. This is the scandal and the power of the third commandment lived out. When you truly bear God's name, it costs something. But that cost is what makes your witness credible. That cost is what proves that you actually believe what you are saying. Am you willing to bear God's name when it costs something? This is the real test of the third commandment. It is easy to bear God's name when it brings status or comfort or social acceptance. It is hard to bear it when it requires sacrifice. But that is when bearing the name becomes credible. That is when it becomes a true witness to God. That is when people know you are not just performing. That is when they know you actually believe. Where in your life might bearing the name of God cost something? Where might you be silent when speaking would require courage? Where might you be hiding your faith to protect yourself? This week, consider bearing God's name publicly in one small way. Not dramatically, not recklessly, but genuinely. Speak about your faith to someone. Make a choice that reflects God's character, even when it costs something. Live your allegiance to God visibly. It might be as simple as saying a blessing before eating in a restaurant. It might be as simple as telling a friend about something God has done in your life. It might be as simple as making an ethical choice that costs you something because it honors God's name. Notice what happens. Notice whether this creates fear or freedom. Notice what it does to your sense of identity. Notice how people respond. The apostles did not bear God's name in private. They bore it publicly, boldly, at great cost. And through their witness, communities were transformed. The gospel spread. The church grew. People were converted not by clever arguments, but by seeing faith lived authentically. This commandment is not primarily about what you say in private. It is about what you live publicly. Whether you are willing to let your allegiance to God shape your identity in visible ways. When you bear the name truthfully, when your confession is backed by your courage, you become a witness. You become someone through whom others encounter God. You become someone who makes God credible in the world. Father, give us courage to bear your name publicly. Help us let our allegiance to you shape our identity visibly. Help us live with such coherence that our witness becomes credible to others. Help us be willing to suffer for your name, knowing that in doing so, we make you real to the world. Help our communities be transformed by our faithful witness. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.